First Take, your take on this TGIF, June 26th, 2020. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, coming to you on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and simulcast on ESPN News. Kevin Connors in today for Jason Fitz, and we are both requesting and demanding your interaction. Get on the phone lines, 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN. Question that we're asking, is Roger Goodell handling the NFL's return correctly? We'll get into that in just a bit. First, your SportsCenter headlines. 16 of 302 NBA players have tested positive for COVID-19 in the league's first mandatory testing. Those players will remain in isolation until they satisfy public health protocols. Names were not released, but some players, such as Malcolm Brogdon and Jabari Parker, have acknowledged their positive tests. Meantime, the Travelers Championship going on just down the road from our studios in Bristol, Connecticut. Will Gordon holding on to a one-shot lead, the American a one-shot lead right now over Mackenzie Hughes. Mackenzie Hughes, the 29-year-old Canadian who fired a round of 60 yesterday. We'll be talking with Bob Harry coming up in just a bit. Straight Talk Wireless runs on the same networks while saving up to 50%. Get the unlimited plan with up to 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G for just $45 a month. No contract, Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Well, 4.5 weeks from today, NFL training camps are scheduled to open. Now, of course, there are about a million variables, but if we're being optimistic, hope is on the horizon. Of course, a big, big question in the world of sports right now, are leagues handling their respective returns correctly? Earlier on First Take, the conversation got specific to Roger Goodell. Here's Laura Rutledge, Stephen A. Smith, Max Kellerman, and Dan Orlovsky discussing whether or not the NFL commish has handled things correctly.
My direct answer would be not yet. The reality is that the manner in which they talk, there appears to be at times an absence of sensitivity to the situation in terms of making sure and ensuring to some degree that players are conducting themselves in proper fashion in terms of engaging in social distancing and things of that nature that could contribute to really quelling the momentum of the coronavirus coming in their direction. I think that there's a better job that he can do in regards to that. But the reason why I use the two words not yet is because unlike Major League Baseball, where they're getting ready to return to the spring training, not spring training anymore, but the training before the season begins in July, unlike the NBA, which is getting set to restart in July, the NFL doesn't really have to worry about too much because the regular season starts in September. So as a result, it's entirely plausible that Roger Goodell in the league office is sitting back, looking at what the medical professionals are saying, combining that with the knowledge that they're gathering from witnessing what the NBA is planning to do, what MLB is planning to do, along with various others, what local and state governments are doing as well. And they're taking all of those things into consideration before they come with their official game plan for the 2020 season. So I have no doubt that the NFL is doing that. As a matter of fact, a couple of NFL officials I spoke to directly said that's exactly what was transpiring, that they were looking at engaging all of these things before something was put in writing to be handed to the teams in terms of what definitively would be exercised as we move forward. But I still think, with that being said, if you're Roger Goodell and those guys, you can watch your language and you can make sure that you don't come across as completely oblivious or disregarding what needs to be done in order to elevate the issue of safety in everybody's mind.
I don't think Goodell is handling it correctly. Let me just say my answer is no, he is not. Not in my opinion. And let me start by saying this. I am not opposed to getting back to as close to normal as possible or creating a new normal until there is a vaccination available that we can have fun with, where fans can attend games and things like that. It's not that there's a group of people out there, of which I am a member, who says, no, we just want everything to be weird for a while. That's, you know, so let me just give you some evidence or some facts that maybe make you think, well, maybe you could have fans. You're better off outdoors than indoors. You know, that it's because the volume of air to whatever can be in the air, germs, you know, that carry the virus, can be in the air, is much, much greater outdoors. So you think, well, if you have an outdoor stadium and you observe social distancing, why not have fans? It's, you know, good to get outside and to root for your team, and maybe you make capacity in a stadium that could hold 80,000, you make it 20,000. But let me tell you why I still think that that's a far-fetched idea at this point. And furthermore, to be planning for that is the wrong idea. You want to have that as a backup plan. If things are going better than you thought, hey, maybe we can then even add some fans. But let's see you pull off the very basic part of just playing games in the first place. So Top Rank Boxing here on ESPN. It's the only world-class boxing that's taking place right now. Anywhere, certainly in this country. And there was a fight on last night. There have been 3 postponements so far because of COVID. Now, understand, it's in a bubble. They're constantly testing. There are relatively few participants. You don't even bring your family in and out with you. Like, it's a pretty strict bubble and a good test case. Already 3 fights have been postponed. And that's not a team where people share a locker room, whether or not you're social distancing, much more likely for the spread, the contagion, right? The spread in a locker room of 50 plus people with personnel, et cetera, 100 people. This is before you get to fans. So the NBA is going to be up next. Dana White and the UFC, Top Rank and boxing here on ESPN, have shown you can pull this off with strict testing, quarantining, isolating with the bubble, not bringing family in and out and all that for a limited period of time to stage an event. And even then, as we saw with the UFC too, you will have postponements and cancellations. Now next up is the NBA. Let's see the NBA pull it off. Far fewer people than the NFL. Centralized as opposed to decentralized. No fans. I don't know that the NBA can pull it off. I'm hoping maybe they can. I'm optimistic about it, even though cases are spiking in Florida, and I'd like them to see them with a plan B other than Orlando, where apparently there isn't. Now we get to the NFL. Now they're studying what's happening here, but for your original plan going in, yep, we're going to start on time. Okay, I can see that. Why not? Like, try to start on time. It's going to be decentralized as of now. And we're going to have fans in attendance before you even know if you can even get this thing off the ground. So far, all we know is you canceled 1 preseason game because it's too close already and you couldn't pull that off. So what I'm hearing from Goodell is more of the same. I hear it even worse in college football, but I hear starry-eyed optimism and I'm not hearing realism. So my answer is no. In my opinion, from what I'm hearing, I don't think he's handling the return correctly so far.
Max and Stephen A. on First Take earlier today. I'm Kevin Connors in for Jason Fitz. Is Roger Goodell handling the NFL's return correctly? Look, I'm all about proceeding with caution, right? Every precaution not only needs to be taken, must be taken. Nothing should be more important than the safety of the players and personnel on every single team. But what do you want from Roger Goodell? I mean, just say, hey, let's just forget it. Season's canceled. Too dangerous. I mean, we can't be at that point. I mean, this is a business. Thousands of people's livelihood in the sport and around the sport depends on the resumption of the NFL and other sports. We have to try. Now, don't read that as to hell with the safety of the players and personnel. Not at all. If this at any point becomes really unsafe, pull the plug. And by the way, as the guys talked about, we're going to know a ton before the NFL even plays a preseason game. But with extreme measures in place, it's possible. I mean, the UFC and Max talked about Top Rank. They're pulling it off. Have there been some fighters that had to be taken off cards? Yes. And it's going to happen. The PGA Tour is doing it. Did some guys withdraw from the tournament this week? Caddies as well? Yeah, that happened. European soccer is doing it. Korean Baseball League, wake up every morning at 3 a.m. You can see it on ESPN. That's going on. They haven't shut down. Is the batting average going to be 100% on this? It's not. But it's not 100% when you're sitting at home on your couch either. I just think we have to get to the point where we give it a chance. And Stephen A. said it best. At the 11th hour, make your decision. And as far as fans go, I think we're parsing language here. You know, we're so far off from this being a reality where fans are walking through turnstiles, right? So for right now, let's plan for it. And if we can't get to that point, then guess what? Can't happen. But to me, we're parsing words by saying, well, you know, we're being too optimistic about it. Let's be optimistic. Let's be optimistic. And then I think most reasonable people would say if we get to a point where it's looking like it's not going to happen, and guess what? The NFL says no. Most reasonable people will say, okay, not going to happen. We understand. Those are my thoughts. By the way, missing basketball, tune in tomorrow night for an NBA Classic Game 3 of the 2006 NBA Finals between the Heat and Mavericks. It's presented by AutoZone. Coverage begins 8 Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Speaking of the NBA, nice segue. News of the day, 16 of 302 NBA players have tested positive for COVID-19 in the league's first mandatory testing. To help us digest the news of the day, we bring in our pal, ESPN NBA insider Tim Bontemps. All right, Tim, the players who've tested positive right now will remain in isolation. What's the reaction to this news today? About 5%, a little more than 5% of the NBA testing positive for COVID-19.
I would say that this is expected. You know, the NBA has kind of built in these 2 weeks to allow for players to get back to their home markets, to spend a little less time in Orlando, and to kind of begin the process of testing every other day. And the reason they wanted to start testing ahead of going down to Orlando was to try to prevent anybody from going into the bubble environment with the virus, right? The goal is, you know, obviously they would like for no one to ever test positive, but if you have a few positive tests beforehand, you catch them, you isolate people, get them back healthy, have them come down to Orlando later. The idea is everybody that comes into that bubble is healthy. And if you can start with a clean bubble, that gives you a much better chance of making it through this experiment, like you were referring to with these other sports, with as little of the virus getting inside of it as possible.
So, of course, that's the hope, to maintain and to root out positive tests ahead of time. But Tim, let's go under the assumption that at some point during this there are going to be other positive tests. What's the plan then? Let's say a player, two or three players on a team test positive, then what happens?
Well, I mean, the league has said that, you know, the league said in its health and safety protocol that a small number of tests is not going to prevent things from continuing. But, you know, the real question is going to be what happens if there are four or five or six guys on the team that test positive, right? Or what happens if, you know, during the playoffs, what happens if LeBron James or Giannis Antetokounmpo or Kawhi Leonard test positive, right? That's when these protocols are going to be pushed to the limit. Also, frankly, you know, what happens if somebody tests positive for this and actually, you know, has to get hospitalized for it, right? Like, we haven't seen any of these athletes, at least as far as I know, have to get hospitalized because of the virus yet, right? Like, it's easy for, I think the point of this is that it's easy for everyone right now to say that there's a plan and they have a plan, you know, they have a question. If you have a question, they have an answer for everything. But this is going to be a thing that changes as things go along. And I think it's hard to sit now, a month, it's still more than a month from the first game, remember. We're still a long way away from games being played with the virus going up every day. In case counts in Florida, it's really hard to sit here today and say exactly what this thing is going to look like in 5 weeks or in 10 weeks when the playoffs start or in 12 or 15 weeks when the NBA Finals are supposed to start.
ESPN NBA reporter Tim Bontemps joining us via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Tim, we learned that the NBA schedule will be released tonight. Help us understand, what's that going to look like in terms of number of games per day, times games are played, et cetera?
So people are going to get used to seeing a lot of basketball after not having any for the past few months. You know, I don't know the exact times, but I would expect to see games aired basically all day, every day.
Wow.
For the first 3 weeks of the month of August, like through, I think, August 17th or so. There should be games probably from like 12, 1 o'clock in the afternoon till 9 o'clock at night. Every team is going to play 8 games The NBA is calling them seeding games. They're really just a continuation of the regular season for the 22 teams that are there. And they're going to finalize what the final standings look like for the playoffs. And if there's if the eighth and ninth place teams in either the East or West Eastern or Western conferences are within four games of each other at the end of those eight games, there'll be up to two play-in games, depending on if the eighth seeded team wins one of the games, they advance to the playoffs. If the ninth seeded team wins both, they go to the playoffs. So it's obviously going to be a little bit of a different thing than what NBA fans are used to, but you know, if people are pining for basketball right now, which I imagine basketball fans probably are, starting on July 30th, assuming this thing can get going, they're going to have more than their fair share of it for, you know, the next few months after that.
Yeah, morning, noon, and night, right? I mean, we're going to have a lot of NBA basketball, which is great news for those of us who want to see sports back. I would imagine that the sports books are going to be enjoying that brisk business.
I think they'll be thrilled.
Yeah, I think you're right. Tim, players were briefed about what updated security measures in Orlando will look like. And we know that the league is going to use local, state, federal law enforcement agencies, team security staffs as well. Does this matter to players? I mean, how have those measures been received?
I mean, I think everything matters, right? I mean, look, obviously right now we're in a pretty sensitive time when it comes to, you know, people interacting with police. And I understand there's a lot of sensitivity that goes with that. But there's also the factor here that you have a lot of very famous people who are going to be in one place that everybody knows where they're going to be for a very long time. And you have to keep people safe also. Right. And I think that's also a part of this. If you go to an All-Star game or an NBA Finals game, there's a lot of security and there's a lot of, levels of interaction you have to go through to get into the building to be part of it. And I think that this is just kind of an extension of that in terms of trying to make sure that, you know, from a safety standpoint, that this thing can, go off without, you know, any kind of incidents taking place.
Kevin Connors chatting with ESPN NBA reporter Tim Bontemps. Tim, I want to steer the conversation to actual basketball-related content, which is refreshing on a lot of different levels here. And I want to talk about one of the teams that's not going to be in Orlando, and that's the Knicks, who added Worldwide Wes, William Wesley, to its front office staff this week. Wesley with a ton of connections with players throughout the league, but of course zero experience as an executive VP and senior advisor, which his new role is going to be. What's the reaction been to the Knicks' plan of going down this road?
Well, I mean, I think everybody in the NBA knew that Wes is going to be involved with the Knicks in some form. I mean, he's been working with Leon Rose for 25 years at this point. So I don't think that anybody is necessarily surprised that he's working for the Knicks. I mean, things went back and forth a little bit when Leon Rose took the job running the Knicks, but there at one point it was expected that William Wesley would join the team. And then at other points they thought he might stay at CAA, but I don't think that this comes as much of a surprise to anybody. If there's anybody in the world that Leon Rose is going to trust to help him, you know, try to turn the Knicks around, it would be Wes, given the amount of time they spent working together over the past couple decades.
And they have their work cut out for them, to say the very least.
To say the least.
Tim, I want to ask you about this. Vince Carter retired yesterday after 22 years. I was thinking about the best ways to describe him. Obviously, electrifying comes to mind, but also for me, one of the most professional players in the history of the league, and in my opinion, deserving of a far better send-off than quietly saying farewell on a podcast, but such is life here in 2020. Is Vince Carter a Hall of Famer?
Yeah, absolutely. I think he will be. When you look at kind of the breadth of his achievements over time, I think he's going to get in. And I think, you know, really, I think he should get in for no other reason than the impact he had on the sport in Canada. I mean, it's not a coincidence that that you see a lot of young Canadian basketball players coming into the NBA who are for ages, you know, 25 to 18. Right. I mean, those guys were all kids when Vince Carter was coming up and becoming a real star in Canada. And he made the Raptors a long-term viable franchise, and he made basketball a popular sport in Canada and really kind of established a foothold there for it. So I think that alone is enough for him to get into the Hall of Fame. And when you factor in, obviously he had a great career. You know, I don't remember exactly where he's in the scoring list, but he scored a ton of points and, you know, really kind of, you know, like you said, he's a model citizen and really in kind of a remarkable way went from being one of the biggest superstars in the league to a guy who was very happy to be a role player for, you know, the final 8 or 10 years of his career. You know, just has really had a really remarkable run. And I'd be very surprised if it doesn't end with him winding up in Springfield in a few years.
Yeah, 25,000 points, which he's at, is kind of that milestone number. I think it's one of those benchmarks in the NBA where you can say, yeah, this guy's probably, listen, he was remarkable. I mean, anyone who doesn't remember the early part of his career, go back and look, because he was not only a sensational player.
The 2000 dunk contest.
There you go.
That's all you have to watch.
But also had enjoyed a tremendous amount of winning with the New Jersey Nets with Jason Kidd once upon a time. He had a fabulous career. Hey, great stuff today. Great insight from our pal, ESPN NBA reporter Tim Bontemps. Tim, thanks so much for joining us.
Absolutely, Kevin. Thanks for having me.
Tim, joining us via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. We're encouraging you to get on the phone lines, 888-SAY-ESPN. Is Roger Goodell handling the NFL's return correctly? We're going to get to that. Plus, coming up. It's First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and ESPN News. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Well, the NFL just continues to be a locomotive with no plans of slowing down. Plans remain in place to report to camp on time in roughly 5 weeks. Remarkable how through this all, how so many sports have been impacted. The NFL, obviously not in season for the most of the impact of COVID-19, but the NFL has gone on, again, like a locomotive. The NFL draft, boom, happened. 3 days of dominating the headlines. Roger Goodell said it's going to happen, and it happened. And they pulled it off without a hitch. Training camp. Roger Goodell says it's going to happen. They appear to be on the mark right now of making sure players report to camp in about 5 weeks. They've canceled one game so far. There'll be more, but they've canceled the Hall of Fame game right now, but that's it. We're going to get to Jeff Darlington to talk about the NFL in just a minute, but first we head to the phone lines. We've been asking you whether or not you think Roger Goodell has handled the NFL's return properly. 888-SAY-ESPN is the hotline. Tristan from Pittsburgh. Tristan, how are you today?
I'm doing good. How you doing, Kevin?
I'm doing great. What are your thoughts on that?
So I want you to do a little thought experiment with me real fast. So imagine you have a toddler, and you tell that toddler that they can't have an ice cream cone when they want the ice cream cone. They're going to be pretty upset about that, right?
Okay.
So imagine you give that toddler an ice cream cone. You give the toddler 3 licks of that ice cream cone. Then you take it away from that toddler, put it into a box, and say, toddler, you can't have that ice cream cone until we see a downturn in COVID-19 cases. And then during that time period, that ice cream cone is melting away inside that box and it's becoming less and less. And that toddler is getting more and more upset the entire time they can't have it. That is a perfect analogy for what would happen to the NFL and fans of the NFL in particular if the NFL decided to have a season and then 3 or 4 weeks in, whenever we see an uptick in cases, they take away the NFL from the public. I think I understand why people are optimistic here, but I think the public would be more upset if you told them that you can't have the NFL if it already had started than if you tell them they can't have the NFL and it does not start to begin with.
Tristan, you painted a vivid picture right there. You gave us a descriptive analogy. I disagree, man. I think this has got to be about the player safety no matter what. And no matter what, you got to try. So to me, let's try. But then if we find out that player safety is at risk here, to use your analogy, then you got to put that ice cream cone back in the box. I mean, we can't be risking guys' safety here, and God forbid something drastic happens, and saying, well, you know what, we couldn't slam the brakes on. I mean, that can't happen. You can't. I understand what you're saying, that people would be frustrated if we took the NFL away after we gave it to them. But if we're getting to a point where guys are getting sick, unable to play, God forbid something worse, we got to slam the brakes on. And again, I think reasonable people would say, got it. Understand. We gave it a try. It didn't work out. Bill from Virginia. Bill, yeah, joins us on the phone lines. Bill, how are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing well.
So we're still talking about Colin Kaepernick and an apology?
What are your thoughts on that? Does the NFL owe Colin Kaepernick an apology?
Absolutely not. I think he owes an apology to the American public, but I just don't think you should ever kneel during the anthem. The athletes have unlimited access to the press to further any agenda they have, and they should do that. And so they can call a press conference, they can run a foundation, they can raise money about anything they want to. And I think the anthem and the flag is about unity, and anyone that just makes it about themselves or their agenda is being selfish.
That's one school of thought on this. I spent a lot of time covering sports at West Point, New York, home of the U.S. Military Academy. I can tell you what the American flag means to the individuals of every color and creed that go to school there. It's why this is as hot button a topic as it is. But if the conversation is about, has Colin Kaepernick gotten people's attention by kneeling during the national anthem, how can the answer be anything other than yes? Has he raised awareness about this? How can the answer be anything other than yes? But Bill, we certainly appreciate your call and your perspective. Carlos from Texas, does the NFL owe Colin Kaepernick an apology? Carlos, how are you?
Fine today. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. What are your thoughts on that?
I 100% firmly believe the NFL owes him an apology. Hmm. I think it would be a great first step to humble themselves and take that first step, and just saying you're sorry is the first step in healing. I think it would help heal the nation. And if I was an NFL owner, I would be itching to get my name to have him on my team. What he represented, and unfortunately, our first take as Americans, we were angry, and we couldn't see what he was standing for. And that was something that we, 4 years later, are paying for at a higher cost. But, you know, plus on the backside, if NFL owners are truly about making a buck, as we know that's in the news, and we talk about jersey sales alone. Just give me 1%. That's all I'm asking for.
Hey, wait, Carlos, hang with me on the phone here, because you brought up the owners here, okay?
Okay.
Where have the owners been for the past 4 years? Like, I realize everyone wants a pinata in Roger Goodell, and everyone wants to take their frustrations out on him. But where have the 32 NFL owners been for the past 4 years about bringing it? Roger Goodell didn't say you can't sign Colin Kaepernick. 32 NFL head coaches, 32 GMs, 32 owners. Where have they been for the past 4 years?
It's a scary topic. It's a hot potato nobody wanted to touch in all this time until they're forced to touch it. And unfortunately, you reap what you sow, and this is where you're at. But what a great opportunity in any part in life when you can admit that you've done something wrong to somebody by saying you're sorry. It can change a lot of minds, and it just needs to come from the right person. And I know Jerry Jones has been in the news a long time. I'm a Fort Worth, Dallas Cowboy fan, die hard. But if he's going to lead the way, he would be a strong voice in this to come out and unify not only the league, but maybe a chance to unify our nation and see past and see truly what he was kneeling for in a very peaceful mannerism. And it's just something that's really hard for America to see right now.
Carlos, it's a great call. And by the way, the previous call, which took a different perspective, was a great call too. It's a difficult topic for a lot of people. And I think most people on this issue most, not all, certainly there are some who view it through a different prism, but I think most people are trying to view this in a fair way, and it's a reason why there's differing opinions. Our pal Jeff Darlington joining us now on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Jeff, it's great to talk to you. Kevin Connors here. We've been talking about how the NFL is such a locomotive, right? No plans of slowing down. The issue of whether or not fans will be allowed at games, as you understand it right now, what's the NFL stance on that?
You know, it's funny. It feels suddenly like there's so much uncertainty amongst even players about whether this season is going to be played that I don't feel like, to your point, we've even necessarily gone all the way down the road of the idea of having fans there. And I know that sounds maybe a little bit empty from the fact that, like, how can you not be planning at this point? But the NFL has maintained to date that they will have fans in the stadium. They, you know, they did, they approved a, the owners all approved a potential policy that would allow stadiums to basically cover the first few rows and put advertisements on those for TV purposes. So clearly that being something that shows us that the NFL behind the scenes is having a bit of a contingency plan for the idea of having either no fans or partial fans. But again, to your point, public facing, the comments that the league has made all along is that this season will be played. It will be played with fans. And while I believe that ultimately behind the scenes they're planning for otherwise, it is interesting and notable that public facing, they continue to kind of push forward.
We're chatting with NFL insider Jeff Darlington via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Jeff, how about LeBron James' comments, in effect saying that the NFL owes Colin Kaepernick an apology? Forget where you stand on either side of that. What are you hearing from players around the league about someone of LeBron's stature injecting himself into the NFL arena?
So I think it gets very complicated, and this is going to sound really cold and callous, but I want to be careful because I don't know every specific about it, but as far as I remember it previously, the league was very cautious about making any comments because there were collusion cases that were being charged against the league from Colin Kaepernick's camp. That did get settled, but as far as I understand it, like, a collusion case can be reopened almost like a new case. And that's why I honestly don't anticipate, from a legal standpoint, the NFL doing something like that. And again, I understand why that sounds ridiculous and cold, but I do think in a very litigious society that they're very careful about those types of things. I'll tell you this, the best apology would probably be the unspoken one of finding a place for Colin Kaepernick to reenter the league and doing whatever backdoor deal you need to do as the commissioner to make sure that that happens. If it's not a public apology, certainly it feels like there's got to be a way behind the scenes to make things right. And you know, look, all I know is we keep hearing from people. We heard from Mark Davis, the Raiders owner, saying that he's instructed his general manager and head coach since 2017 that if they want to sign Kaepernick, they can. We've heard Anthony Lynn say, the Chargers head coach, say he fits – Kaepernick fits his offense, and that they've got him on the emergency workout list. And yet we hear these things, but none of these teams are signing Kaepernick. So that, to me, if we really want to make this right, somebody's just got to step up, stop talking about it, and actually sign him. That, to me, would be the spoken aspect of it that would make it kind of perhaps fix it in a way that it has not yet done.
And they've had that opportunity for 4 years, and it hasn't happened. And we'll see if, in fact, it does happen here this offseason or perhaps moving forward. Jeff Darlington, ESPN NFL Insider. Jeff, great to talk to you again.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate you.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Quoting, home insurance just got easier with Progressive's Home Quote Explorer. Quote and buy all online at progressive.com. We're going to take a break here on First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and ESPN News. Coming up next, are we going to start seeing more colleges cancel their football seasons? The answer coming up next. First Take, Your Take, ESPN Radio. It's First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and streaming on ESPN News. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. And the phone lines have been on fire today. To the question, is Roger Goodell handling the NFL return correctly? And does the NFL owe Colin Kaepernick an apology? You can join us in the discussion, 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN. Jim from Montana. Jim, how are you today?
I'm fine. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. What are your thoughts on the NFL owing Colin Kaepernick an apology?
First off, I'd like to say good afternoon to you. And as far as the NFL owing Colin Kaepernick an apology, I don't think they do. I think Colin Kaepernick dragged politics and a personal agenda into the workplace, and that does not fly. If you do that in any other area of life, you'll probably be shown the door relatively quick. As far as him being offered a position back in the NFL, yes, I think he does deserve another shot. But I also think he's being made out to be more than what he was. If you look at his numbers statistically over his career, he was a mediocre quarterback. He had one good solid year under Harbaugh when they went to the Super Bowl and almost won. But overall, he's not as great as everybody's making him out to be. Thanks, and you guys have a fantastic afternoon.
All right, Jim, you as well. Look, I mean, listen. Colin Kaepernick was never in the MVP discussion, but to dismiss him as a marginal quarterback and then in the same breath say he almost won a Super Bowl is a little unfair. Now, was Colin Kaepernick a star when he last appeared in the NFL? The answer to that question, of course, is no. But the guy almost won a Super Bowl. As for the notion that he dragged politics into sports, and you do that in any other realm, you're going to be shown the door. I think we all know that sports and entertainment is a different realm than the person who goes to an office and bangs out a 9-to-5 every day. And whether or not you agree with Colin Kaepernick's position or not, the fact of the matter is this conversation was largely started by him. I mean, he's the one that people are pointing to and saying, you know what? He's the one that started us having this conversation. So you can object to him kneeling during the national anthem because you believe in the flag, and I'll listen to that. But you can't object to the fact that this guy has had this conversation and he's the one who started it. We continue on First Take, Your Take, ESPN Radio next.
Geico knows there are many reasons why you ride. From the thrill of the revving engine and pure adrenaline of flying down the highway, to the confidence of knowing that Geico always has your back with 24/7 access to claims service. But Ari Snyder has one reason in particular.
I have extremely large upper arms. They won't even fit into most shirts. Thankfully, biking really embraces vest culture, so I feel accepted.
Geico Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.